Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Goff stops, loads, open Laporta, he's got it, and he's got his first NFL touchdown.
Collectors, we're back, baby, we're back, recording on the night of September 24th, where the Lions have come away with a 20-6, that's right, 20-6, only 6 points given up. A victory to move to 2-1 over the Atlanta Falcons. Oh boy, what a fun game, especially from the defensive side of the ball. We're going to get into all this in a moment and get our instant reactions. But before we do, let's get to the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. So we got Red Dog.
Yo.
UJ.
Hello, everybody.
And Bob.
Hello, hello.
And Connor was at the game today. He's traveling back, so can't make it, but that's all right. But we're going to get our instant reactions here. And I want to start this off with UJ. UJ, I want to really focus on the defensive side of the ball. What do you think about this defensive effort today from this Lions team, especially coming off the game against Seattle? This is polar opposite in every way possible.
Oh, for sure. It was a stellar effort by the defense. I love the pressure we were getting, especially up the middle. You know,
yes.
Early in the game, we were getting a lot of pressure up the middle. It was. Benito Jones made one particular one. Lee McNeil, he started seeing him a little action. He looked good. So, yeah, this was just a great effort on our defense. We were fast. We were physical. Made some mistakes early, a few missed tackles here and there. But the effort was outstanding. I mean, and they were just flying all over the field, man. They were just looking for people to hit. I mean, there was some hitting in that game today. It was awesome. So just a stellar effort by the defense. It's a great comeback from last week's game. I look for more of this. I mean, this is just a fantastic effort by the D.
Definitely. Bob.
Yeah, a hell of a game. I was confident. We were talking before on the chat about the injury report that came out that looked pretty bad. But I was like, they're going to still win convincingly, and they did. They did not disappoint. I expected a little more out of the offense, but the defense was so good. And I was so happy to see our rookies contributing across the board.
Yeah, definitely.
Branch, of course, a huge standout, which we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. And Jahmyr Gibbs. You know, he did a solid job, you know, doing a job that's not normally his. He pounded out. He had a good game, and Laporta, of course, was amazing. So, what a game. What a game.
Yeah. Road Dog.
So, I was watching the NFL Red Zone package, and at the end of their broadcast, they do the every touchdown scored from every game. And you know what's awesome? I didn't see one from the Atlanta Falcons. They didn't get in the end zone today, baby. That defense played a hell of a game. We were in control of that game. Yeah, we controlled that pocket. We controlled the ground game. Bijan did nothing. Did nothing. Squat. Okay, he had like a couple nice little shifty runs. But like in the stat column, it looks like minimal impact.
Yeah, 10 carries, 33 yards, and only 27 receiving.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
It minimal impact. What a great turnaround of effort and getting after an offense that, you know, was really clicking first couple of weeks.
Absolutely. And I'm with you guys as well. Like, just this crowd as well, again, just came out absolutely, like, you could hear it through the screen, even just how loud this the crowd is in Detroit. You know, the crowd came back with a vengeance. They want to get their victory that they thought they're owed last week, and the Lions defense wanted to show them that, hey, we respect you. We want to get that W. And they came out and showed them, like, okay, you know, we're not going to perform like that ever again in front of this crowd, for sure. So mad respect to the Lions fans out there today that just brought the energy that this team needs, especially at home, because we got to defend the turf. And now let's start pointing out some specific players. And the first one we got to go with is the man that Bob mentioned. It's Brian Branch. He was all over this field, like literally all over. 11 tackles, all solo. Super like no assisted tackles, three of which were for loss, two pass deflections as well. He's got to be arguably like the defensive player of the week the way he played today. I mean,
yes.
I don't know why they kept going the way he, like, even the passing direction, but man, he,
he had like 2 15-yard penalties, but you wouldn't even know. His day was so great, it didn't even matter.
He got penalty for hitting a guy too hard.
Yeah, that one was stupid.
That was weak, I agree.
It was very
horrible.
They penalized him for bullying Bijan. Like, he was just having his way with Bijan, beating his blocks, just tackling him in the backfield. Like, he was just, he was so good. Oh, my God. Like, this kid... The fact that he fell to the second round, people have got to be kicking themselves right now. Like, that they passed on him. He looks ridiculous.
Do you think fans are going to start coming to the game with, like, a mouthpiece and, like, on their head?
Did they explain that by any chance?
He doesn't wear it. He just puts it in his helmet. I don't understand.
Yeah, it's so
what's
weird.
The point of having it? It's just, you know, I don't know. But
it's so you know who he is.
He doesn't want to wear it.
Yeah. So I thought it was the green the sticker. You know, the green, like, for the radio. But Barnes does that.
It helps identify him, at least. You know, if you see that little, like, thing on the helmet, you know who it is.
Right. And, you know,
and by the way, he was being covered. He was covering Drake London, 6'5" receiver out there today in lockdown coverage.
Definitely. And, you know, a few injuries, especially to our safeties. But Tracy Walker, this speaks of the depth that the Lions have built up over the past few years. Tracy Walker, and Iffy are the backup safeties in this defense, and both of them really stepped up today with some really nice hits over the middle. Mm-hmm. They got in the right position. Ball thrown a little high by Ritter at times, who's remarkably unimpressive as a quarterback, but we'll get to that in a moment. But but Walker and Iffy definitely stepped up, especially Iffy, because we've seen a lot of not great play out of him in the past and a lot of ups and downs in training camp and stuff. Will he even make the roster? But this is definitely a pro case for him making the roster. Would you guys agree?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Walker, he just can't get his hands on those interceptions.
No, he cannot. That went right to the wickets.
Yeah.
He needs to spend time at the jugs machine with Amon-Ra after practice.
Yeah, I think so.
That was sitting up there forever. That was, oh, my gosh. Give it to me on a silver platter.
He made a great break on the one.
And this is why, like, the Brian the Branch touchdown against the Chiefs in week one, like, people are like, oh, that was an easy pick, but we see DBs dropping all the time, kind of like Tracy Walker dropping this one. He had to dive a little more for this one, but still, they're not as easy as the
the second one. Well, he broke on it perfectly. He should have been
hit him right in its chest.
yeah,
good Lord.
But he did play a really good game. He was a presence out there, and he affected that game.
Oh, and that hit he put on, I'm not sure who the guy was he hit, but it broke his rib cage or something. I don't know. He just walloped that guy. Wow.
But yeah, wouldn't that be crazy if, like, after all this season of buildup of Kirby Joseph and CJ GJ, like, it turns out, like, these backups come in and turn out to be, like, our super studs that lead us to the Super Bowl? Like, I just, like, these kids... We got talent. We have enough talent to roll out two dudes who might potentially not let down anything from what we had previously, like, and maybe even turn out to be better. Like, if he has such a supreme skill set, like, physically, he's so, like, athletically gifted. If he can put it together mentally, oh, my gosh. And Tracy Walker's shown to be a playmaker and a leader. Like, this is – I just like how these season narratives can develop. These guys really stepped up today.
Definitely. But the reason that our DBs were able to play so well is because our defensive line finally stepped up in the front seven as a whole. Let's talk about that interior first, especially Lee McNeil. Benito Jones saying the measure early. I'm losing.
Setting the tone.
Tone. Thank you, UJ.
Yeah. Setting the tone.
I don't know why. Couldn't find the word, but thank you. But he set the tone early with inside pressure. They dominated the inside of this interior line for the Falcons.
Yes, they did.
Because they like to run a lot of double teams. I thought our D-line, though, overall was just more aggressive upfield compared to the past couple of games.
Yeah, they were.
And I think that benefited them a lot in this game. Like, just let loose. Just run upfield. Don't worry about maybe missing an assignment. Just get after it a little bit. Cause a little chaos in the back, you know?
Yeah.
When you don't have to respect the legs as much, it helps to not have to worry about that as much.
Yeah, I mean, Ritter's a runner.
He's a decent runner.
He's not on the level of like Geno.
He's arguably a better runner than Geno Smith.
He's a better runner than Geno. But the thing was, too, when he did get out of the pocket, there was someone there to chase him down for a minimal gain.
Branch,
we hadn't seen before. Like, yeah, whether it's Branch or whether it's Anzalone or somebody, always there to take him out with a short gain. And he didn't break anything long. So, again, kudos to the defense for being ready for that.
Yep.
So,
definitely.
Yeah, Z, when you talk about that defensive line, I think they took it to heart last week that they weren't able to get through to the quarterback. And I think they were fired up. I'd love to see Benito Jones with swagger out there, man. When he's out there pumped up, you know.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And then that, you know, that helped free things up with Hutch and, you know, the whole line working together. It was beautiful.
Yeah,
definitely. And I think so I was in the preview, I was asking for this, but the Lions played a lot more man coverage in this game. I think some of that has to do with how the Falcons operate, a lot more running, and also Desmond Ridder is just not a very good quarterback, so let him try to beat you, because he made a lot of poor throws in this game. But the Lions, kudos to them for making that adjustment and letting him try to beat you, because he can't.
I think they created some of those bad throws, though, because he didn't have much time. Or he was on the run all the time. Mm-hmm. And, one thing about quarterbacks getting hit, which I like this year compared to last year, they're letting you hit the quarterback again. Like all these things that would have been like unnecessary roughness last year, everyone's getting a shot.
Like around the legs and stuff?
Ritter
was running like a running back, though. Like that one time he ran out of bounds, and Anzalone wiped him out. And it was like, man, why are you running like that, dude? You're gonna get killed.
Yeah, that wasn't very smart.
No, yeah. But he.
We'll take that. We'll gladly feast on giving a good shot to your QB.
Absolutely.
And speaking of Anzalone, is that a segue we could take? Because
you made it now.
All right, sweet, because that guy showed out today. He really set the tone early, too, by just flying around the field and making big plays. He looked great.
Yeah,
this was a great day for the linebacking crew. Anzalone Campbell with a sack. And a half. And then
I think Barnes had a sack, too.
I want to get to that because he was unique, because I like how they used him off the edge.
Me, too. Yeah. I was so psyched about that.
He is really stepped up this year. Great to see. He's had a great. He's been our most consistent linebacker, I would say, both in coverage and against a run, and now against the pass too.
He's only going to get better. This kid has such a high ceiling.
I still find it curious how they use the linebackers, but I'm getting more used to it because they're all seeing the field. Every one of them. They're not just putting the two guys in there and letting them go for the whole game. They're constantly switching them in and out, and they're all doing good things. So, I mean, whatever they're doing, it's working. So,
yeah, and Rodrigo's a good depth piece to have. He hasn't quite played up to the level of the other three
nickel linebacker.
I think the reason he was so featured last year was because we didn't have a good linebacker. It's kind of nice. Rodrigo bothers me a little bit because he doesn't. Always wrap people up on these tackles. Like he'll
He missed.
Because he's got stumpy arms. Use that one where you see it. He did his best to reach out and reach around him, but he's got stumpy arms.
He's not like a T-Rex or something, man. Like,
hey, he's not the only
short.
One.
He's short with stumpy arms. I'm just saying, I think Tolik had similar limitations and stuff. When linebackers have those short arms, sometimes it makes it hard to hold on to a powerful running back like that. But I also want to notice this game, I like this matchup for us because it allowed us to put a true 4-3 defense out there. And we were running more linebackers than we would have in the last couple of weeks, which I think plays to our strengths because we have so much talent there now. And to have Campbell, it was beautiful thing to see Campbell, Anzalone, and Barnes all on the field at the same time. The more we can do that, I think, the better, honestly. I know this league just demands having those extra DBs.
I don't know. Next week the Lions play a very run-first type offense in the Packers, too. Yeah. Or Thursday, not even next week. Thursday.
Maybe we'll see more. I hope so. And actually, they had Jack Campbell was lining up as an end, too. And that's part of why he got a sack.
Yeah, and I mean, that speaks rush. Also to the versatility that the Lions look for in every guy that they draft, really. Like, you mm-hmm. can't just play one position. You got to play multiple positions to fit into this, this defense. And I also like that Charles Harris appeared today. I didn't forget about him. I remembered him in this game because he made a few couple plays. So that was good to see. I hope that can remain consistent going forward.
Well, Quara made a nice pass deflection.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Yeah. And but now I want to get to Hutch a little more because he just continues to show out. And he finally got his couple sacks in this game.
Yeah. He was due.
So close. But when the rest of the defensive line is doing their job, that frees him up a little more to do his thing.
And one spin sack was awesome, man.
And that's what he's dirty at. You know, that he lives on that type of technique and that hustle.
But UJ had an issue with the sack dance.
I did. That sack dance has got to go. That is just disgusting. That's just is horrible, horrible.
He didn't do that last year, right?
No, he did the Billie Jean or the Michael Jackson thing he did last year.
I thought it was fine.
Well, UJ did like a high kick thing.
Today was terrible.
The stanky leg, they call it?
UJ, if it makes you feel better, it is the stanky leg. But if it makes you feel better, he said he's going to come up with new ones. I think he just had that planned as his first one.
That's just awful, though. That was bad. And he did it twice. Yeah.
But be honest, you would not mind seeing that if you saw it like another dozen
times. If it means he's getting sacks all the time, I guess I can avert my eyes and watch that shit, but... It's
like
really awful
your nose
dance.
To eat this thing.
Just an awful, awful dance. It's terrible.
But man, the Lions' run defense in the first three games of the season is extremely elite right now. they're shutting down the run game consistently the first three games of this season. Now, in the second game, it was to their detriment a little bit in the past game, but
yeah.
Either way.
Statistically, it's still
it really stood out because this is like they, I believe the Falcons are averaging 170 yards rushing a game coming into this one. So the first two games of the season, and then they had 180 total in this game, 183 to be exact. So
under 200 yards total offense,
total offense,
dominant, absolutely dominant,
definitely dominant.
The AC also chipping in,
Sorry, 245 yards. There's a little error.
Is that built
here
by Ford?
Sorry.
Does Ford make their own AC?
But
whoever makes it, they deserve a race.
Yeah, another missed field goal. Another missed field goal today. Man, it's a lot of fun when that happens. Sorry, 245 yards we gave up today. So I just want to correct that.
Oh, that's a significant difference. No,
you're right. But seven total sacks in this game. Branch had 11. Jacobs had 7. Tracy Walker had 6.
11 sacks. Wow.
Jerry Jacobs still, he's a pretty good tackler in the run game. Leaves, at least for me, some things to be desired in the pass defense.
Yeah, he's struggling a bit still.
He made some plays today, though.
He's a scrappy player.
He's a good depth piece at cornerback. It's like... We need Bosley out there.
He's so grabby out there, grabbing receivers all the time. He just can't keep his hands off.
And teams like do attack that. So, but not too effectively today, at least. It didn't cost him anything.
No, we had a lot of penalties today, too. And I just want to comment on the officiating. It didn't cost us the game, obviously. And Campbell says it should never be blamed on the officiating. But that being said, officiating sucked in this game, man. It was terrible. Did you see we got called on a horse collar, which I didn't know you could grab the guy's jersey and get called on a horse collar. And
it's a high part of the jersey. By the rule, they called that correctly, actually. So I know.
It's a stupid rule. And then then it happens to us, and they literally take Gibbs. I think it was Gibbs they tackled.
Yeah,
with a real horse collar. We grabbed the whole back of the – and they didn't even call it.
I think we got a penalty on that play.
There were some missed calls in there that were just
we had a holding on that one.
Blatantly missed. And it was not good officiating. But
Sewell
Campbell
struggles.
Says, you gotta
Sewell. Said with him with two penalties.
So we had 10 penalties for 119 yards to their 4 for 24. Yeah. We still dominated this game easily.
And you know, like, what's a bad penalty? You know, that part of it is their aggressiveness, which is nice. You know, like, you're going to get some penalties, like Branch, you know, just for going nuts. You know, if you overcome that stuff, you don't want penalties, but if you're doing it by making big plays, you know, maybe it happens sometimes.
So. Did you see Branch after the game? I don't give a fuck about the penalty. He just wanted to make a statement and get by and hitting Bijan. That's what he literally said to the to the reporter.
I didn't see that.
That's awesome. So, like, did when we drafted him, did we use the capital from trading back with to get Gibbs?
We got Laporta.
Laporta.
Oh, well, gosh. Man, our second rounders really just showed out today. Holy crap. Gibbs and Laporta and Branch.
Yeah, so let's move to the offensive side of the ball now.
Yeah.
Where it's a little more up and down. And with our expectations for the offense, probably a little more down than you'd like, but we can start with the highs at least. And that was the rookies, and especially Laporta, who just continues to show out. Early in the season here. I think it was three of our picks to click: Rudd Dog, Connor, and Bob. If I'm correct about that,
I think that was
I had
too.
Jameer Gibbs.
Or sorry, a roar of the week.
Roar of the week.
Yeah.
Wait, who am UJ? Did you have him?
I had him too. Yeah.
Okay, so UJ, Connor, and Rudd Dog had Laporta as our roar of the week.
First ever player to have over 5 catches in 3 straight games.
Yeah, longest tight end touchdown in Lions history, which is not shocking. There's a couple of things I want to talk about. But Laporta just continues to be extremely reliable, which is unheard of for a high tight end draft pick for the Lions throughout their history. I don't know if you guys saw Hockenson kind of like, it was a tough play for any tight end, but he did have a pass go off his hands at the end of the game
today. He sucks.
I like the way when you guys talk about Hockenson, it's like he's Joe Fourier. I mean, like last week, I was listening to you guys, and you're like, oh, Josh Reynolds had a great game. He had 2 touchdowns and 87 yards. And then Hock had the same stats, and I was like, oh, Hock couldn't catch. You know, like what the hell? It's just funny. You guys got the narrative.
It's not that Hock couldn't catch. He just can't block.
Hock can do it all, but he's getting paid for it. But I thought it was a shrewd move the way they traded him, and they got, like, Hock 2.0. Hopefully even better, much cheaper. So I think it's awesome.
Yeah, well, I admire really your agree. Continuing love for Hock, though.
Yeah.
It shows you.
Well, I just think it's funny,
is
though.
It the locks? Hock,
like, he can't even never do anything. Like,
is it the locks, Bob?
Look at the Don't statistics lie. For the last couple of years.
It's
and, like,
the hair.
And then the yardage, it's Kelce, like, Hock, and Kittle. Like, they're all up there. But, I mean, Kelce's another league of his own, but the rest of them, it's just kind of funny.
It's kind of beautiful to just see that love.
Yeah. Great play design on the long touchdown though by Ben Johnson, and a great job by Goff to really sell it and flip his hips to get that throw, because that's not always a throw that we see him rolling to his left and flip his hips and throw it deep to the opposite side of the field.
He's done it though.
Yeah,
he did it last year to Raymond too.
Yeah,
against the Packers, I want to say.
Yeah, and they caught him in single high coverage, and they just ran the right play. So I don't know if they saw, like, their personnel and knew what kind of defense they're going to be caught in, but, I mean, they faked the rollout to the right, naked bootleg to the left. The other safety kind of bit on Amon-Ra, and it just worked out perfectly. And Laporta sold it.
Yeah, and Goff sat in there to deliver it, too, because he had a dude bearing down on him.
Goff had a pretty good game. He did miss. He missed another open throw that
he missed
had.
A few open throws in this game.
He was selling them high today.
One. I think he was three or four.
He was feeling the pressure,
but I wouldn't say it was a bad game though, because he also hit some lasers on 20-yard passes. You know, he like threaded it in there and got those.
Oh my god!
Against pressure, and he was getting hit today too. You know, so he felt it. So he was out there battling with a depleted offensive line. So I thought he did a good job.
The play to Amon-Ra on the deep out to the left sideline, where he threw it just beyond, like, that was such a ridiculous throw and catch. That was so elite right there. Like,
it was.
Yeah.
That's impossible to defend.
Still awesome. He's great every week.
Again, quiet. See, we don't bring him up because he just quietly gets 100 yards. Like, it's like,
No, but I agree with you, Bob. Goff had a really solid game despite a few overthrows and things like that. He spread it around again to Khalif Raymond, had a good game.
Oh, and how about when Goff ran it in, UJ?
Beautiful.
No one saw that.
Nobody
one
expected that.
he was so fired up when he got that touchdown. It was awesome.
He threw it to like the second level.
He just chucked it. Did you see Campbell after the game? He's like, Goff takes those extra personally because he still likes to think he's a running quarterback.
This is one of the few games, though. We only had four guys catch the ball, and Gibbs only had one catch in this game.
Yeah, no Reynolds appearance.
Nine to Amon-Ra, eight to Laporta. And Reynolds is hurt. I think that's maybe one of the key factors. He dealt with a hip injury all week. Hip injury, I believe.
And
groin.
Marvin Jones did nothing except he did draw a penalty.
He did do that.
Nice.
But we did not take advantage of the penalty, unfortunately.
That Falcons defense was playing pretty decent. There was just a ton of
open. Right.
Yeah, Troy Anderson looked really good in this game again.
I like that kid. I like him. He looks good.
That 55. I felt it's kind of like someone's gonna clip it into like a GIF or something when the Kabinda on the 4th-and-1, they're like, the super back Kabinda. He just gets absolutely stuffed.
And that's when he got a barrel forward that 1 yard on. Like
that linebacker beat him to the punch.
I know, but he still has a chance to lower his shoulder a little more and drive that for a yard, in my opinion.
Dude ran right onto his midsection. He didn't have like
anything. I didn't think he did a good job again. Low enough to drive for the yard that he needed.
Yeah, he got.
Maybe that's why they don't give him the ball.
I thought it was like the super back. I didn't know that was a thing. It didn't look too super.
Yeah. But this was not. I don't think this is Goff's best game. I mean, he still had a solid game, but I don't think it was his best. Another pick, unfortunately. That was definitely on him because Raymond was open.
It was on him, but again, the pressure, he was getting pressured a lot today. He was very, having to deal with a lot more than usual. That patchwork O-line, they battled, but they were struggling at times and more like pretty consistently.
I mean, they had one guy out, but
I guess Glasgow is our sixth starter, but still, I mean, we went down to our third tackle.
Yeah, there was one really bad block on Grady Jarrett by Jonah Jackson and Ragnow. he just made him look like fools. So that was a little disappointing to see. And then Sewell.
It was awesome, the Calais Campbell, because he was playing so well and they kept featuring him and then he got beat on the
Yeah.
And just the look on his face, the disappointment was awesome.
I couldn't tell if it was disappointment or shock that Jared Goff, like this white dude beat me.
he hit the fake, it was awesome.
Goff is great at faking. Can we talk about that for a second?
Oh, yeah.
Almost got himself killed because he's so convincing. Then he pulls off the fake disc to get the touchdown this time. Love it.
You're talking about the one last week where he handed the ball off, but he was still acting like he had the ball and then took
a little shovel pass.
Personal foul. The Seahawks guy celebrating the sack.
Totally missed it. He thought he had a sack. He was so excited.
That was such a crazy play. Because then I love the long or the end zone view where you see Diggs celebrating the tackle in the and then in the same line you see the guy getting up celebrating the non sack penalty he just caused.
How about our running game? What are your thoughts on how the Lions' run game went today? They had one good drive at least.
Started clicking,
but
respectable. It was respectable.
Yeah, respectable.
It was pretty good. They missed Monty. They need that guy up there. Yeah. But they had Gibbs doing that. He's a little smaller. He's not quite as strong at that, but he could still get in there and make contact with people.
He's not afraid of it.
Obviously, he's best when he's out in space, and I think. Once we get a full complement of people, that's where we're going to be featuring him more in the pass game, which he wasn't able to do anything with that today.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he has the vision yet that Montgomery has. Montgomery's got great vision and can find those little holes and stuff. And he's more right now he's just hitting it and plowing and it's effective. I mean, he had, almost 100 yards today on the ground.
Yeah.
He was over 5 yards a carry. Better than Bijan Robinson, And I mean, then that last drive where, you know, finally the O-line was like getting some creases for him, you could really start to see like, oh my gosh, this kid is going to, he started getting like a rhythm. Like even Dan Campbell knows he's getting a rhythm. He's starting to underfeel the game. And if this kid keeps getting better, like in getting the feel of the game, you can just see he's going to start popping off.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he's already is kind of like, that was a, like a, what do you get? Like a 21 yard yeah. run on that one.
What do you think, UJ, of the run game? What was your,
I just thought it was steadily effective the whole game. I mean, they didn't break a lot of long ones except for that one by Gibbs at the end there, but, yeah, they were getting nice little chunks, 6, 7, 8 yards at a time sometime. And, I mean, it wasn't perfect, but it was effective.
Yeah.
Their run game still leaves a lot for me, a lot to be desired for me personally. I'm glad they stepped it up on the big drive near the end of the game, but I want Gibbs to be more patient still. I don't see a lot of cutbacks from him. I don't see him kind of look at like just letting just sit back a little longer, like just read it a little longer. But
yeah,
I just wanted to see like just get a little more patient as well, I guess. But part of it too is like the hole is not there.
No,
whatever they're doing right now, no. I don't think is working too effectively. They average 3.7 yards a rush. The average in the NFL is 4.5. They're 25th right now in the NFL in rush per play. Like,
yeah, I think it starts up front, Z.
So. It definitely starts up front. Like, I mean, it hurts not having Decker there. Big V was definitely doing – he was doing okay. I mean, it hasn't really been good the first three games.
Big V was really good in that first game. You said he was the highest-ranked guy, and now you're saying he's okay.
No, I'm saying in general. I was saying in general. Big V is probably our best run blocker for the first game and a half.
I also think there's a strategy of these teams. These teams seem to be playing to stop our run a lot. Like – their linebackers, their safeties are crashing, and like that's why there's not holes a lot of the time, because they're already filling. Like, they want to stop our run. And, you know, I don't know why they want to force Jared Goff to throw, but like, you know, I mean, everyone's got to start with stopping the run, because you can't let Jared Goff's play action just get that much amp. But like, and that's what they're doing. They're selling out, and we've played a couple of defenses with the ability to play pretty stout up there so far.
Yeah, definitely. But I was glad to see Gibbs finally break a few at the end there. So that was really good to see. He averaged 4.7 yards to carry. Most of that was because of the last drive. But and we saw a little Zonovan Knight too in there.
Yeah, he had like an 8 yarder.
Yeah, and Craig Reynolds did all right. So,
Jack Fox was booming him.
Jack Fox was crushing him today, man.
He did. That one really
hung.
Holy
cow.
Yeah.
Cleef Raymond was pretty good again, as usual. Had some nice plays.
Yeah. I mean, so on the interception, he was open. And then on the deep pass, too, that Goff missed him. That was.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
He had the other deep one that took us, like, inside the 10.
Oh, yeah.
Good catch.
Yeah. That was a shame he missed that one. So it was so open.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'll go
like gave that up the touchdown, so can't be too mad about it.
Yeah,
I thought Dan Campbell coached a good game too. He didn't go for too much, you know. He played a little, little more conservative.
Yeah,
but he's not gonna do that every week. But this week he did, and it worked to his advantage. So,
but you're always on your toes, no matter what.
Yeah, the announcers are like looking for fakes, you know. on the team. But
I feel like he uses his fakes when he feels like. It's a little more necessary, you know, like I feel like he felt like this game we could handle this team without pulling too many tricks, you know, and we did very much so. Just straight up, baby.
Yeah. And in a way, it was kind of like a blessing in disguise when Matt Nelson got hurt. Not that I ever root for anybody to get hurt, but he was horrible to start this game. And they brought in Skipper, and he seemed to manage just slightly better. The depth
down.
at the tackle, especially when we have one down already, is not supremely good.
My favorite development is that this is getting Kobe Soersdal battle reps, and like a great development of this could be if he starts developing into a reliable starter at tackle. You could be looking at our future bookends potentially if Decker, you know, well, whatever Decker's future holds.
It doesn't it do your heart good though to see Skipper in there? It always reminds me of last year when you know when they gave him a shout out in the locker room, "Hey Skipper," and he was like practically in tears and stuff. I always remember that moment, and just does my heart good. And you see the Skipper in there, you know, big old loot. So
Haven now said in the broadcast talked about that.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they're like, you got a game ball last year for his play.
Yeah, and he didn't do too bad. But I was glad to see Sorensdahl get some reps, though. I was. I agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
Definitely. No, that was
even though the first play, I think he just got bowled over straight up by the end. And who then?
Welcome to the NFL moment. You know, everybody, all these reps have one.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But, you know, they did enough. They did enough. It took a little while to finally like put it away because this Falcons team was just waiting to get put away throughout the whole game. And the crowd was waiting for it, too.
They were.
So, that's why I was waiting for, you know, I was like, oh, you can't let, you know, a bad team hang around. At least today they were not a good team, the Falcons. But,
yeah. I mean, they're a talented team. That defense was tough.
So, I saw Connor walk in there, Bob, behind you. I know you just got back from Detroit, but,
yeah,
is he no longer calling for Aaron Glenn's head?
I don't think so.
For the next episode,
he's not right here now. No, but
depends on which way.
I imagine he said he was in the heat of battle or whatever when you guys.
No, he said on the last podcast too.
Yeah, right, so
he was. We're just gonna sit down here.
I imagine Glenn's risen in his eyes after this week. So,
oh man, so the Packers come back from 17 down to win 18-17 in Green Bay today against the Saints. That was unfortunate.
I don't know. It kind of sets up a really enticing battle for Thursday.
It'd be an enticing battle if they won or lost. So
yeah, why would you?
Well, now it's for a battle for first. It's a direct battle for first place.
It'd be a battle for first if they lost too.
Yeah,
you're making no sense in this regard.
I was gonna say that the
Packers would have the tiebreaker, and we'd both be 2-2.
Since when do you make sense on this podcast?
Yeah.
Fair enough. Come on.
I still like it. They're tied. We're tied right now. It's a head-to-head battle. Like, the rest of the division's falling away to 0-3.
Do you want them to match us all season?
No, I don't. But, like, I'm just saying, like, I'm kind of like, it's kind of, like, embarrassing right now what the Vikings and Bears are doing, like, getting just, like, what the Bears.
Well, there's two levels of embarrassing. The Vikings have lost three one-score games.
Yeah.
Like, I want them to lose, but, like, they're still repping our division. Like, come on, guys.
The Bears look like they belong in a, like a league below the NFL right now. They are an abomination. Yep.
The Chiefs looked like they were having like like 7-on-7 practice or something. They were just having fun out there.
I mean, you have Justin Fields calling out the coaching staff to start the week. That is taken out of context.
Good start.
Everybody,
their defensive coordinator is gone on some weird mysterious charge.
Some HR related issue. There's other rumors floating around on the internet, but that's what the sources were saying today. Either way, losing your D coordinator 3 games into the season and your quarterback calling out the coaching staff, not usually a good combo for success amongst the many other issues that they have.
No.
They're another team, too, that have, like, horrible ownership and, like, 90-plus-year-old owners that don't want to be involved in the sport. So, you know, I do not feel bad, though.
Do you guys see?
I keep telling you. Wait, I have actually a question for you. So, if there's like a Bears fan out there that's like already given up on them and they're trying to, they don't want the season to be over. Like, they want to have some rooting interest out there still throughout the rest of the year. Do you welcome them onto the Lions bandwagon? Yes or no?
Well,
that's weird.
I can only say this for my own speaking. The only year I ever jumped on a bandwagon was 1985 when the Bears were just one of the funnest teams I've ever witnessed ever. And you know, we weren't that good that year as usual. And I just glommed onto them a little bit because they were just so much fun to watch. They were so cocky and they were so freaking good. And so that one year I did kind of jump on a bandwagon for 1 year only, but I never gave up my Lions fandom ever and never will. But just for 1 year, I just kind of rooted for them because that team was just something.
Except when they played the Lions, of course.
Oh, yeah. I never, of course, that. I never against the Lions.
So I hope everybody jumps on the bandwagon.
Yeah, exactly.
Poor Lions fans.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's what I agree. So I didn't know.
Yeah. People,
you know,
rooting the
I didn't get this whole, like, up. I was there with the 0-16, therefore I deserve it more than you guys. Who cares? Like, let's enjoy it.
Well, Run Dog UJ have this weird thing, like if a player is injured, the win doesn't mean as much. So I don't know. They got all these weird unwritten rules.
Yeah. Don't misrepresent my stance on that.
Oh, yeah. And
that's a pretty UJ clear stance.
UJ didn't like the Cleveland going 0-16 because it ruined the Lions, like 0-16. I didn't get that. Like, why would you want that with me?
Yeah, why did we want to hold on to that?
Our uniqueness. I don't know. Like, you know, what else we got to root for? We were so bad.
Cubs fan logic, man. What the hell? The lovable losers.
I didn't like being a lovable loser. I hated it. But, you know, but now we're actually getting good. And, fun. Great.
Well, I wish Connor was here so I could tell him, like, when you think that you want Aaron Glenn gone or you think he's having a bad defense coordinator job game, just remember the most points he's ever given up in a game is 45. The Dolphins scored 70 points against the Broncos today. It can always be much, much worse.
That's insane.
Yeah, that was
70
crazy.
Points, and they had a chance to kick a field goal at the end to get the NFL record for most points in a game and took a knee.
Oh, my God.
But
man, that
team Atlanta,
is... That offense is built like a create a team on.
And Sean Payton was making fun of the former coach about how bad of a job he did. And Sean Payton's already doing 1,000 times worse. And it's funny because Sean Payton is like the main inspiration for Dan Campbell's kind of coaching, the way he coaches offense and his team in general. So,
yeah,
interesting.
But yeah, you know, that watching what the Dolphins are doing right now has me really excited. And to bring up another point, because Jameson Williams is coming back in only a few weeks.
Yeah, and he's back in the building, which is key,
and we're
too.
We're going to be able to have speed kind of like what the Dolphins are rocking right now.
Definitely.
Let's see how that unlocks this offense. Oh, man.
You just got to catch the ball. He's got to, you know,
possess
it.
Just has to be fast and open people up. Because, like, his speed is just his danger downfield is just going to make it so hard to keep track of everything.
We'll just put a lot of stickum on him and just hit his body somewhere. Yeah. And the ball sticks.
But he is able to come back to the facility tomorrow or even today, I think.
I think so.
But either way, like getting him back in, make sure that hamstring's good to go, because I know they were concerned before they had, you know, they had to part ways for a few weeks, them not being in the building with their sports science people and such, to make sure that's all taken care of. But having him in there, does he get to practice?
No.
I didn't think so.
But he just gets to be around everybody, and he can be taken care of and, you know, getting back into the fold. So I think it's a great step. Now, it's one less worry about him just being out there in the cold and making bad choices or something.
Yeah. 70 points. Unbelievable. I thought I read it wrong.
It's unreal.
Yeah. Well, the Cowboys were supposed to be the next great thing too, and they got beat by the Cardinals this week. So you know,
arguably the worst. What a lot of people thought was the worst team in the NFL coming in the season.
So, yeah.
Didn't look like
the
it
NFL.
Today.
It's quite a league. It's quite a league. A lot of ups and downs. A lot of ups and downs. And this first month of the season is always a crapshoot. You just got the fact the Lions already got two wins is huge, because the better teams end, like, they improve and show up at the end of the season usually. But the Lions missed out last year by one game because they couldn't pull out one of those close victories early in the season last year. So getting these two victories is huge because these teams are still, I mean, no preseason. So you really got to think, like, the first 3-4 games of the season is like the preseason for all these teams in a lot of ways. So getting the victory is always huge. That's why that Kansas City one was massive, because especially on the road.
Well, you saw what they look like today.
Yep. We caught them at a good time, I think, early in the season. But
it doesn't matter when we touch them. We'll kick their ass anytime.
True.
I don't care if it's a Tuesday.
Only Tuesday games are only during COVID and the pandemic, unfortunately. I miss Tuesday football.
Yeah.
But there's only 1, 2, 3, 4 undefeated teams left in the NFL already. And two of them play tomorrow night, the Buccaneers and Eagles. Otherwise, it's the 49ers, who are very, 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 very good, and the Dolphins, who are obviously tremendously good.
Like, is someone going to actually, like, be able to bring this team back to reality? Because that's just ridiculous. Like,
which team?
The Dolphins. Like, they're playing. Yeah.
They have so much speed. It's remarkable. They and they had 350 yards rushing today.
Doesn't even matter who's that quarterback for him. Just chuck the ball deep. You got Tariq Hill running and just torching.
Yeah, you literally have to just kind of. It's like when you play 500 in the yard and you yell, or like you yell some impossible number because you're going to throw it to a spot that nobody's going to catch it. Well, Tyreek Hill's the guy that will catch that. You just have to throw like to an empty space on the field and he's gonna, and put a little bit of enough air under it, and he's going to catch it.
So really ridiculous.
Because, like, the Lions in this game today, like, Desmond Ridder had, was it Pitts over the middle? They beat the double safety coverage over the middle, and he just put a bad ball on it. That's part of the, I think, the reason why the Lions are comfortable playing man, and Ridder just threw, like, a laser over the guy's head instead of putting some air under it. That touch is something that he does not have. And it was lucky for Lions because that could have been a touchdown early in the game. I forgot who was in coverage on that over the middle. I can't remember.
The Chronicles of Ridder.
Though. What was that?
The Chronicles of Ridder.
Yeah. That's pitch black.
Thanks, UJ. I was looking for a time to kind of wrap up the podcast.
I was glad to provide it for you.
And, I think that helped. I like it. All right. So, I will wrap it up here. So thank you to SidelineReport.com for hosting the podcast. Greatly appreciate that. Thank you to our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
All right. Red Dog and I have only been the only two on these instant ones, the first two, so it was nice having multiple, four of us here.
Yeah. A little awkward with only two.
Apple, Spotify, where you get podcasts. Please download, please subscribe, and please leave a review. Greatly appreciate that. If you have any thoughts on the game or any comments about the Lions, just send like a voice message to Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. No symbols or anything like that. Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid at gmail.com. We can receive it there and play it on the air. Also, reach out to us if you're interested and hopping on the podcast, and we'll kind of work out maybe a time for you to hop on, give your opinion or do picks. We'll try to schedule it throughout the season. Also, Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. As I mentioned, Connor, one of the Blue Kool-Aid drinkers here, was at the game today. He was posting stuff of him at the game. Always cool to see. Twitter at Drinking Lions or X. Do you guys still call it Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's hard to call it X, like it's unless just, I doesn't roll off the tongue very well. Anyways, Twitter/X at Drinking Lions, Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Otherwise, we will be back probably Tuesday. We'll be releasing a pod because the Lions have a Thursday game, so we got to get the preview out there. Let's simmer for a little bit, and then we'll be reacting to that game on Thursday. So. Busy week, within a few days, you know, give Lions some rest for the next game after that. But it's a huge game, because the Packers seem to be the only team that's going to be kind of challenging for the division title along with the Lions. So the Lions need to get this one, especially on the road. It's in Lambeau. The Lions have had some more recent success lately than like the previous 20 years before that. So let's hope they can keep the good vibes rolling. Take advantage of a beat-up Packers team, but the Lions are also a little beat-up, so maybe we get those guys back. Maybe that's why they sat them today. Maybe Decker and Monty are going to be back for the division game. They just want to give them a few extra days rest because they
know. That'd be nice.
Easy win today. Easy win.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, well, thank you, everybody, for listening. We greatly appreciate you. We'll be back Tuesday, as I mentioned, previewing Week 4, the Thursday night game on Prime in Lambeau Field. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always,
go.
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Go.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.